This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, let's hear God's message of truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, where we left off last time. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. Now, we've already learned that in the Greek, Revelation, the word is apocalypse, means you are to understand this book because it means to uncover, to unveil, to reveal, to take the lid off. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has appeared to John, who was in exile on the Isle of Patmos in 96 A.D., and he took John in the Spirit to the time we're in now, at these end times, this fifth trumpet, which is a time of learning, just before the Antichrist appears. Then he took him in the time of the Antichrist. Then he took him into the seventh trump, or last one out, when Jesus comes. Then he takes him into the future heaven and earth. And he takes him back into the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, the first earth age, when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God. And so he says, John, write everything I tell you in a book, every word, and send every word, every book to the angels of the seven churches in Asia. Now, at that time, there were seven Christian churches in a round circle. Their names are not important now, but it's the content. What it means now, remember Paul said, these things happen to them, for those of us at the end times. So what it means, since the earth is a circle, God sits on the circle of the earth, it means all the Christian churches on round planet earth at these end times right now. Jesus is checking out the churches, and he said, send it to the angel or messenger or the church leader. Jesus is checking out the churches. Now, we've already found that out of all of these Christian churches on round planet earth, there are only two types that please God. We've already studied one. It's Smyrna, and we're going to get another one today. So with that introduction, these are prophecies of the end time, and there is a blessing to hear, to keep, and to read this word.
Chapter 3, verse 1, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write.
Now again, angel means in the Greek messenger or to the preacher there. Now Sardis in the Greek, that was one of the type churches. Remember, it's not the name of the church, it's a type. There could be many denominations under this. This type church in the Greek means tolerance. This type church tolerates sin, even in the pulpit. This type church calls evil good and good evil. Now, Sardis was a merchant town, and they brought the big ships of commerce into Sardis, but they also brought in heathen gods. And right there in the temple in Sardis, they have a heathen goddess called Cybele. She's called the many-breasted goddess, the mother of all gods, right there in the temple. Now, remember, this is a big Christian denomination today. This type church has sin in the pulpit. And very recently we read in the news that the very leader in the pulpit of this type church divorced his wife of many years so he could marry his male boyfriend. So this is the type church, Sardis. So let's see what Jesus says about this.
These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God.
Every time Jesus introduces himself, he does this to let you know that when you're hearing the book of Revelation, don't get mad at the preacher or the pastor or the messenger. Jesus says, I'm dictating this book. See, always when you go to church, you're supposed to hear the Bible. You should never be offended. All we are who are pastors and missionaries and evangelists and prophets and apostles and so forth, we are the messenger. Now, he says, I have the seven spirits. Now, we studied those in chapter 1. They are the seven spirits of God that sit around the throne of God all the time, and they have the face of God. And we learned that they are the seven angels. Each one is assigned to 1,000 of the 7,000 elect who will not be deceived here at the end time. Paul tells us in Romans 11, there are 7,000 who will not be deceived. That's a small number. So that's not guardian angels. That's a special sign for the elect. Their names are, in Revelation 7:12, their names are blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. So Jesus says, I'm in charge of them.
And the seven stars.
The seven stars are the messengers of the seven churches, are the messengers of all Christian churches. That means I'm in his hand.
I know thy works, and that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead.
Now, usually Jesus kind of compliments all these bad churches a little bit, and then he hits them with a hammer. This one, he gets right to it. Everybody thinks you're a big Christian denomination, but you're dead. You know what that means? This is not lukewarm. The lukewarm church is saved. They're just lukewarm. We'll get to that one. This means spiritually dead. This means that this church is not even saved for the most part. Remember the clergy. The civil God is many-breasted right in the pulpit, calling good evil and evil good, doing that which God calls an abomination. So he says, you're not even saved.
Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain.
Repent here and get back to the word and straighten up and get saved.
That are ready to die.
The second death, which will be the death of the soul if you don't get saved, Sardis.
For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard.
Remember how you first heard of Jesus. You didn't have all of this tolerance for sin. You know that I, Jesus, came and paid your sin debt. What is this that you're tolerating sin, even in the clergy?
Fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief.
Jesus says, Sardis, if you don't get straightened up and get back and call sin, sin, and all of you get saved, I'm coming on you as a thief. Now remember Jesus said, I come as a thief. When does a thief come? When you least expect the thief to come. Nobody's expecting a thief to come. Now, what he means is, since you're lost, that first one that comes, calling himself God at the sixth trump, Theosarta, the devil with his Jesus costume on, Antichrist, when he comes, because you're going to follow the whole world and you have no word, you're going to worship him, thinking he is Jesus, so that when I come after the Antichrist, you won't even know that I'm coming. Jesus says later in another gospel, he says, I come in an hour when you think not. You won't be looking for me. You don't look for a thief. See, anybody who worships the Antichrist is not looking for Jesus. So when he does come, he comes as a thief because you're not expecting him, because he comes after the fake bridegroom.
And thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee. For thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments.
The blessing here is that there are few people in this denomination that are saved. I have taught some of them. See, everybody from every church sneaks over. I'm the undercover agent for Jesus to me and gets the truth. So some of you listening now, you may be here. So there are some that will be saved.
And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy.
In other words, they will not defile their garments by going to bed with the Antichrist. When he comes, they'll be pure and virginal and wait for the real Jesus. But it's just a few in this church.
5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life.
Blot out in the Greek means you never existed. Whoever walks into the lake of fire along with Satan at the end of the millennium, your actual memory will be blotted out. This is God's great goodness. It's for himself because he loves everybody more than we could ever love our loved ones. You would never be happy in the eternal heaven if you were remembering Susie and you couldn't find Susie. So it's as though they don't exist. Right now, none of you are grieving for someone that never existed, right? So that's what blotted out means. You never existed.
I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
I would say this one repented of their sins. This one waited on me. This one believed that my blood washes away their sins.
6, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. 7, and unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write.
Now we come to the second type that pleases Jesus. Now, this is Philadelphia, which means brotherly love, and the angel is the messenger of this. Now, we're going to find that there's something that Philadelphia teaches And Smyrna teaches it. We taught it when we were in Smyrna. They are the minority. They're not the mainstream church. But they're the only two type that please Jesus. Jesus is not happy with all the other Christian churches. You're going to find out why.
These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath a key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth.
Now this key of David was first prophesied in Isaiah 22, speaking of at that time the future coming Jesus. And God said, but I will lay the key of the house of David upon his shoulders, and he shall open, and no man shall shut, and he shall shut, and no man shall open. Now, this is not the thing that both these churches teach, but this is crucial so you will understand what they teach. The key of David, level number one, tells you there are two fathers. Because Jesus in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, God the Father, sired by the Holy Spirit, came of the lineage of King David through that king line. That's one father. But Jesus' father was God Almighty. But there is another father, and that is Cain's father, when Satan beguiled Eve in the garden. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, Satan beguiled Eve. That would be Greek, beguiled, exopatio, wholly seduced. So the first thing you want to know about the key of David is that it tells you there are two fathers and that Jesus' genealogy came through the seed line of David. Now, what is this about open the door? What it means is that only the Lord Jesus, by his own Holy Spirit, can open the door of your heart to understand the mystery, the sacred secret of God. The first, second, and third earth ages when Satan rebelled, the seduction in the garden, the fallen angels, the Kenites, the Mamzites, the order of the trumps, and all of the mystery. Only Jesus can open that. He can also shut it for people who would not stand true, and it's in a way for their own protection, not time for them yet.
Eight, I know thy works. And behold, I have set before thee an open door.
See, he's happy about this verse. What is it? Because Philadelphia teaches the word of God. I've set before you an open door. What does he say? No man can shut it?
And no man can shut it.
What he means is, when an elect's eyes in the Philadelphia-type church in Smyrna, the elect will go there. They will come out of Pablum. Once you have known the mystery, something happens to you. You cannot take the Pablum anymore. It makes you sick to your stomach. You can't take the pablum and eat the filet mignon at the same time. See, a house divided cannot stand. And nobody can tell you the other. You're not a know-it-all. It's just when you know the truth. The truth sets you free from any deception. Something happens, and suddenly you understand the entire plan of God, the whole picture. And so there it is, clear as a bell. And nobody can take it from you. Nobody would ever sway an elect to go back to the pablum. You could not even visit there. You would love them, but you couldn't worship, because you would know it's not true.
For thou hast a little strength.
All right, you're not the biggest, richest church, because you're one of two types, he says to Philadelphia. But you know that whatever strength you have comes from me. For Philadelphia type knows that when I am weak, God is strong. You get your strength from the word of God and not from pablum. Pablum gives you no strength unless you're just a little baby, but he doesn't want a baby bride.
And has kept my word.
You have not been taking one verse out of context and making 3 points in a man's sermon. You have not been teaching a book about the book. Or as I heard someone on my radio program just before me yesterday, take the book of Revelation and make up a whole new story out of it. He says, if you take away or add to this book, you take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't teach quarterly devotional books. You don't teach traditions about traditions of men that make void the word of God. You teach every word of God. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Jesus said, man lives by every word of God. Matthew 4:4. And Apostle Paul said, read this epistle in the church. And Isaiah said, line by line. You do that. Boy, do I love you, says Jesus.
And hast not denied my name.
Well, you've not denied my name, Philadelphia. Well, what's his name? Do you notice every time I ask you a question, I go to the Bible and find the answer? Revelation 19:13, it says, His name is called the Word of God. This type church knows the truth and does not deny the Word. See, when you're teaching fables, life lie, proverbs, adding to, taking away, cordless books, men's stories, traditions of men, you're denying the Word of God. The Word of God is supposed to be the sermon, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen. 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews, but are not, but do lie.
Now this is it. Now I want you to memorize it, and I want you to write it down and never forget it. This is Revelation 3:9. But I also want you to write down Revelation 2:9, which was Smyrna. The Smyrna type and the Philadelphia type are the only two out of all of these that please God. And I'm going to tell you what they taught. They say, they're going to tell you who these people are who say they are Jews, but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Now, here's what we've learned. We have 12 tribes, 12, and they're split. Two are called the house of Judah and 10 the house of Israel. When Ezra and Nehemiah went back to build the wall, our brother Judah, J-U-D-A-H, it's Eudas in the Hebrew, and Benjamin went back to build the wall. But with them went some imposters. They were called the Nethinims. They're called the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They're the offspring of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil when Satan beguiled Eve in the garden. They went back. They were supposed to chop the wood and keep the books, but they began to preach the law. They began to say, we are Judah, but are not the synagogue of Satan. The word Jew is not correct. I know it's in English. It should be either our brother Judah or a resident there. And so Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9 tells you who these Kenites are. Understand that they will play a big part in the deception. These same people are going to cause Christians who are biblically ignorant to worship the devil, because they're going to go to their father, and since you think they are Judah, you unlearned Christian, then you're going to go to their father. It is as crucial to Jesus. So these are those who say they are Judah, but are not. They are of the church of Satan. In other words, it'll be in the pulpit. They have destroyed America. They're all over the place. And they are playing a big part right now on planet Earth. They're taking over the Earth. And when their father comes, they will call him God and half the body of Christ. Now, Jesus says that you're to say this. If you've never heard of a Kenite, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, you are not going to a church that pleases Jesus. Because if you don't know this, you're going to get deceived and go to the wrong father.
Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee.
Them who? Those who say they are Judah. See, it shouldn't be pronounced Judah. There's one brother Judah, but are not the synagogue of Satan. The Kenites. Why are they going to worship at our feet? Are they going to worship us? No. Okay, when the Lord Jesus comes, after the fake father comes, the Antichrist, Theosata, calling himself God the devil with his Jesus costume on, when Jesus comes and lands his feet right here on planet Earth, he stays right here, he's not flying away, only the elect, the overcomers, and they will be of the Smyrna and Philadelphia type churches, will go around him, because everybody else will have thought that the devil was Jesus. The other Christians and the rest of the world will call him God. And so when the Kenites see that there are a few of us who get to go around Jesus, that we're on the winning team, there's something about them. They always will sell out anybody, throw them under the bus so they can be on the winning team. They'll grab our skirts, as the proverb says. We won't be wearing skirts necessarily. And they're going to come and worship Jesus at our feet, for every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Everybody wants to be on a winning team. When the whole world has worshiped the devil, and only one little small group has overcome, they want to go to the winning team. And they will know that Jesus loves us. Why? We did not fall away from him. We did not deny his name. We did not worship the first one. Why is that? Because we have the key of David. We know who those are who say they are Jews, but are not the synagogue of Satan. We know about the two fathers because the Bible told us so.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience.
In other words, you waited for me. You did not follow when the whole world worshiped the devil, Revelation 13, and half the body of Christ. You little elect of the Philadelphia and Smyrna type, you stayed true. You waited.
I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation.
Now, many preachers mistakenly say that this means you're going to fly out of here. This is talking about the tribulation of the Antichrist, his hour. It doesn't mean a literal hour. No, it's talking about right here on planet Earth. Satan is coming here acting as God. It's called Jacob's trouble. It was originally 7 years, but in Daniel, he reduced it to times, time, and half times, 3.5 years. And in Mark 13, which was after Daniel's time, Jesus said, I'm shortening the time of the desolator, the abomination of desolation. That's the desolator, the devil, the Antichrist. And he said, for the elect's sake, lest they couldn't stand it. And Revelation 9 gives us three witnesses, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, as established, that it is 5 months. For Revelation 9, the king of the bottomless pit is the Antichrist, the devil. We know it's the devil because he calls his name Apollyon in the Greek, which means perdition. In Ezekiel 28, Satan was sentenced to perdition, to turn to ashes from within. In Revelation 9, he calls him Abaddon in the Hebrew, the destroyer. Who's the destroyer? And when Satan comes, he's coming with his locust army, not literal locust, fallen angels. And it says right there in Revelation 9, the time of the locust. Well, in the natural, do you know what the season of the locust is? 5 months. May to September. So we got three times. Two times it says the king in the bottomless pit will have 5 months, and the locust army is with him, the fallen angels is what that means. That's 5 months. There you have it. Hallelujah. Now, why would he keep us from it? He's not taking us out of here. It means you won't be tempted. We'll find him an abomination. See, I don't care how pretty you are on the outside. If you're ugly on the inside, I know it. I don't want you.
Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
All the world shall worship him, half the body of Christ. Only that small little group, not the mainstream. 2 out of 7's little, understand?
11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast.
Okay, when Satan is reigning, there are going to be two witnesses. We're going to get to study deeply about them coming up in Revelation pretty soon. And Satan's going to finally blow his cool and kill them. And the deceived Christians are going to send gifts to each other because they think, oh, they were reprobates. But after 3.5 days, the two witnesses will rise upon their feet. And that is what is called the seventh trump. And then, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump, Jesus shall come quickly. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, there's a countdown for you. When you see those two witnesses lying there, then Daniel says the wise shall understand. Then you can start doing the shuttle countdown. Days, 3, 2, 1, 1/2, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That no man take thy crown.
So Jesus says, beware here, because he says in the Bible, Paul tells us that those of us who are looking for his appearing, you know he's coming, the seventh trump, that there's a crown for us just anticipating and wanting him to come back. But if you fall off to the first one that says he's Jesus coming in the sky, beautiful signs are lying, wonders doing, wonders revival in the Christian church, but they're all worshiping the devil and don't know it. If you do that, you lose your crown.
12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God.
A pillar holds the building up. But in Revelation 21, we find that there needs to be no temple, not really in the millennium nor in the future, because it says the Father and the Son, Jesus, are the temple thereof. So what it means, a pillar holds the Word of God up. Even now, there are a very few elect who hold up Jesus. What's his name? The Word of God. What is Word? Thy Word is truth. We hold up the truth now to a dark world and a deceived church. In the millennium time, 1,000 years of reign, only that small group elect overcomers will be around Jesus, and we will again hold up the Word, the pillar, the truth. And then in all eternity, only the elect will be able to live around Jesus, still holding up Jesus. You know, when you love somebody, you hold them up, you support them.
And he shall go no more out.
in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, in the first earth age, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, when Lucifer rebelled. In Romans 8, everybody was judged, but there was one little group whom he foreknew. They were married, and they were justified, and they were judged and found not guilty. Everybody else had to come through one time in the flesh in the second earth age to choose Jesus or the devil, because they'd all betrayed God. That's the lukewarmers too. But there was a small group there that stayed true to God. And they were justified, would not have ever have had to left him. But the word chosen in the Greek, chosen from before the foundation of the earth, chosen at Satan's rebellion, it means we lifted up our hand and volunteered. For the Lord God needed a remnant in every generation to bring forth the oracles of truth, not the Babel, but the Bible. And so once Jesus comes back and we gather around him, we'll never again have to leave the lover of our souls. We will be with him the 1,000 years, holding up his truth right around him. And if we inherit God, he says in Ezekiel, all eternity, never again shall we leave our beloved back home forever in Father's house.
Amen. And I will write upon him the name of my God.
Yahweh, the sacred name of God.
And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God.
Revelation 21 says that after the 1,000 years teaching by the Zadok, will all be in our spiritual bodies. God the Father is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem down to earth and dwell here forevermore. Heaven will be on earth, rejuvenated and perfect.
And I will write upon him my new name.
Now this is only the overcomers, so this is not everyone who says I am Christian. Only those who overcome the soon coming deception. What is the new name? Again, the answer is in God's word, Isaiah 62:4. Isaiah 62:4. God says, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land be called desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. Beulah means married, and Hephzibah means she delights in me. Jesus says, I love you. We're married. Hallelujah. When a woman gets married, she takes the husband's name. And the overcoming body of Christ, male and female, take the name. Jesus says, I love you. We're married.
13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write.
Okay, now this is the messenger of the Laodiceans. Laodicea in the Greek means lukewarm. This is a group of people who are saved. Yes, they are saved. And this is the church and the attitude that irritates Jesus so much. I mean, it really bothers him.
These things saith the Amen.
Amen means that's that. In other words, this is the final word. Lukewarm, I'm giving you a final word.
The faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God.
In the beginning, God.
15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Spew means vomit. Lukewarm, passive, just mediocre, makes Jesus sick to his stomach. You are lukewarm. Your room temperature. You go along to get along. No matter where you are, you just act like you agree with it all. Somebody could come in here right now and curse me out as a woman of God. The lukewarm would sit there and smile. You'll never take a stand. Recently, 5 black robe judges nailed the coffin on America by creating a law which is illegal for them to do, to cause this country to come under the judgment of God. The lukewarmers sat there. Oh, yes, you thought it was bad. How many of you took the last dollar out of your bank account and took out an ad and said, come and help me. Let's do something about this. What did you do? You sat there, and then you went home and turned on TV, and you got, and Jesus says, you make me vomit. At least get up and do something. Get up and do something. Amen. You know why it bothers Jesus? He's life. Life is vital. Life is always creating. And he came to this earth to defeat death, whose name is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Life and death don't go together. They don't mix at all. You're children of life. How dare you act dead? This is a love story. Passion, passion, passion. He died for you. He loves you. And you sit and watch the show. Get up and do something for God. Go and tell.
17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods.
Oh, you say, when I'm saved, I go to church every time.
And have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
You don't even know how I see you. I don't see you beautiful. I see you absolutely of no productivity at all. I see that you are twice withered at the roots. You don't even know what it's like to be loved. You don't know what it's like to wildly, passionately be in love. You don't feel. You just go along to get along. Lukewarm, room temperature. Whatever everybody else says, that's okay with you.
18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire.
Now it's going to give you a chance, lukewarmers. Well, we know, we've heard the expression, truth is golden, and the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. So what he means, this truth that you are hearing, get it out of your head and put it in your belly like fire. Jeremiah says, fire, shut up in my bones, and then let it circulate to your legs and get up and do something. At least write a letter to the editor. But you do it. Initiate. Fire. Have passion.
That thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed.
Because if you stay lukewarm, I don't care how many times you go to church, you're not going to have one part of your garment woven. We all are so supposed to do certain things as Christians. We all tithe. We all give offerings. We all give vows. We all give to the poor. I empty my bank account all the time. But you're supposed to share this truth you get. Have you ever told anybody the mystery of God?
That the shame of thy nakedness do not appear.
Revelation 19 says the righteousness of saints, righteous acts after saint, that truth that you get to other people, the word of God will weave your bridal gown. But lukewarmers, if you don't get cracking, you're not going to have any. No more passive. It makes Jesus sick to his stomach.
And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see.
The eye salve in the Greek means make a poultice and put it on your eyes. In other words, get this word in your eyes. But don't just leave it there in your brain. It's not for information. You're not a great Christian. Just you know Genesis 1 through Revelation. You're supposed to be living it. The word is not just to hear. You're supposed to be do it. It is a sin for you to keep this truth to yourself and never share. Get up. Ask God to give you a way. There's something you can do.
19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
The reason I'm upset at you, says Jesus. See, I'm speaking in his tone now. This is the Holy Spirit. It's because I do love you, and I want you to love me back. See, a man does not appreciate a frigid wife. He wants to her sometimes to reach out and be the first to kiss.
Be zealous, therefore.
Be enthusiastic. Come alive. Awaken, O body of Christ.
Repent. 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice.
Now, if you heard what I just said to you, lukewarmers, says Jesus, remember, he's chastising you because he loves you. He's giving you a chance. You better hurry. The time is short.
And open the door. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me.
In other words, for God's sake, open your heart and fall madly in love with me so we can go out to dinner together.
21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.
In the Gospel of John, when Jesus was praying, he said, Father, that they, he wasn't speaking of every Christian, only the overcomers, the elect, God's adopt, that they may be one, even as we are one. And the two become one flesh, and they are one. Revelation 20 says, we shall rule and reign with him. You know, man has a nice car, and he takes a bride. And he opens the door. He drives, but she's by his side.
22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
And so Jesus has spoken to every type Christian church on planet Earth. You are in one of those. Now, the only two type that please him, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, will tell you of the Kenites. Everybody spell it. K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They say they are Jude. The reason I say that, your English says Jude, that's the wrong word. It's Eudas, it's Judah, the brother Judah. But it says they are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Who are the Kenites? The descendants of Cain. And Cain is the child of that other father. Remember the key of David tells you two fathers? We've got God our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Cain was the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the devil seducing Eve there in the garden. So see, you're supposed to know that, because that is going to cause Christians to be deceived if you do not know who they are. God bless you. Now next time, we're going to take some trips and see what's going on in heaven while we're down here on earth at these very end times. Now, I want all of you to live with me in Father's house. So if you're not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent.
I repent.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your kingdom.
To enlarge your kingdom.
Here on earth.
Here on earth.
As it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, for those of you who are sick, may the Son of Righteousness arise in the name of Jesus with healing in his wings. In Jesus' mighty name, let all pain be gone. Let all disease be gone. Let miracles, signs, and wonders occur in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. Hallelujah. Death is here, and brain clots be gone in Jesus' name. Broken bones be mended. Body parts grow back. Rise. Take up your bed and walk in the name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Awaken, awaken, O church, come alive. We're in a mad, passionate love affair. Let the world know you have found the lover of your soul. In a few moments, my announcer's going to give you my telephone number, and you might like to call me and tell me you were saved or healed, or just tell me you love me, for I love you. Remember this, though. You don't want to be mediocre. Beige is so boring, and it's boring to the Lord. You don't want to make Jesus sick at his stomach. You want to make him say, yummy, yummy, tummy. Now, I want you all to remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. God bless you and guide you into all truth. I love you. And if God is willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Though we're strangers, still I love you. I love you more than your mask. And you know you have to trust this to be true. And I know that's much to ask. To lay down your fears, come and join this feast. He's called us here, you and me.
You're listening to WMIE, Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music.
us through. My heart is aging, I can tell. So Lord, I'm begging for one last favor from you. Here's my heart, take it where you will. This life has shown me how we're mended and how we're torn. How it's okay to be lonely as long as you're free. Sometimes my ground was stony, sometimes covered up with thorns. And only you can make it what it had to be. And now that it's done, well, if they dress me like a pauper, or if they dine me like a prince, if they lay me with my fathers, or if my ashes scatter on the wind, I don't care. But when I leave, I'm gonna go out like Elijah. And it won't break my heart to say goodbye.